For the scripture reading, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us. And Father, we just ask that your Spirit would speak through the pastor this morning, that the message that you want us to hear would penetrate our hearts and our minds. And Father, as we've read here about spiritual armor, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to put on the armor, Lord, and to be able to resist sin and temptation. And Father, I pray that this morning and in the days ahead that we would just focus our minds and our hearts on you, Lord, putting aside worldly things and things that hinder our relationship with you. And we just ask for your blessing this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know how many of you were on Monday downtown Montreal at about 12 o'clock or 11:30 to 1 o'clock. Any one of you there? Jill, were you there? You were doing what? I didn't think you would be there. Well, they were interviewing some young people, and a young lady said, "Was scary." And the reporter said, "Why?" "Well, you see these policemen dressed with a panoply of, the way they were dressed was a scary thing." And you know what? The word panoply, I love it. In English, the Bible uses the word armor, and it's a good word, but in Greek is panoply or panoplia, which means, oplo means a weapon, and panoplia is what covers you for war. I've been thinking of that panoply or for the armor for the past few days, actually, knowing that I'm going to stand before you and talk about it. I imagined all kinds of scenarios of soldiers fighting, and then you've seen probably Greek movies or Roman soldiers fighting with this panoply and heavy duty shields and spears and all. And I said, what does that have to do with a Christian? We are being told these days that a Christian is a wonderful person, a Christian who comes forward in a meeting like this or at home or listens to the television message, and then all of a sudden decides to become a Christian, and he prays that prayer of the sinner's prayer. All of a sudden he is protected now by angels and by God, and his life will be a constant, wonderful, peaceful existence on earth. Well, that's the message we are being presented. And you know what? There is a lot of truth in that. But it's not the entire picture, and it's not the entire truth. Because the Bible says that a Christian is like a soldier that has to be ready to fight. A soldier is a Christian is a soldier that has to defend himself or herself from the enemy. And regardless what some people believe, that the enemy is going to be scared if you go like that with a cross, or if you say in the name of Jesus, the devil is going to flee and you'll be protected. It's not true. You got to do some fighting, the Bible says. And that is why you have to be protected completely. Also, you have to have the sword. There are equipment, there are pieces to defend yourself, defensive pieces, and then there is one which is to fight a good fight, if you wish, or to fight the enemy. The Christian life is one of constant conflict. This is discouraging to those who hoped to move on to heaven with an ease. We are locked in a conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil. A spiritual battle is raging all through the believer's life and all around us. The struggle is with Satan, and we battle against demonic powers. And if you don't believe me, read the newspapers, watch the television, listen to the radio, and see what is happening. Churches, Christians, religious people are in a constant conflict with each other. For the follower of Christ, this conflict can be one of victory after victory. And all of a sudden, we realize that there is victory in the Christian life. As a matter of fact, we can have victory after victory after victory if we do the right things and follow the instructions that God has given us in His Word. How? Well, by using the equipment Christ has provided. We are actually equipped to win, not to lose. In Ephesians 6:13, we read, "Therefore put on the full armor," that's the panoplia, the panoply, if you wish, "of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, not to be on the ground defeated." Because Christ is there. Because the Holy Spirit is there to help you do it. The full armor of God, the Bible says, is for protection. The sword is God's word and is for actual spiritual battle. Each part of the armor tells us that the believer must have in his or her life should have to be protected against sin. The first, and this is two-part message. We'll continue next Sunday, actually. Next Sunday. And we will look at three pieces of equipment this morning. The first one is the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Your word is truth," says in John 17:17. "Your word is truth." A lot of people have a religion. A lot of people have some truth. A lot of people in a lot of churches and a lot of us may think that we are better than the others because we know our Bible well and because we know our doctrine well and because we are baptized, or maybe because we are called Protestants or Catholics or Greek Orthodox. But is that what it is? Truth is not what you think is the truth. Truth can be only one. And sometimes when I talk with Ben, I tell him, I will say something about truth. He says, "Whose truth?" or "What truth?" And it is true that there can only be one truth. That is why I cannot follow somebody's truth unless it is found in the Bible. And unless the Bible has it, And you may say, well, how do you know the Bible is the truth? And if the Bible is not the truth, then there is no other truth, because the Bible was written by the breath of God. It is the breath of God. And it took many, many centuries and years and many, many writers and the help of God and the Holy Spirit to put everything in here. It's not. This is not the writing, the writings of one person who claimed to have a revelation or had a revelation, and it's not the collection of sayings of one person or two people or one doctrine or one religious person, but it is a collection of God's word and history and facts and truth that were put together in by many. And it took many, many years to be completed. So the Bible says, and even the court and the judge says, if you have two or three witnesses, then that may be the truth. But here we have dozens of writers and witnesses who say what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. So the first one is the truth. And unless if we have the truth, the belt, then we can't even be sure whether we are believers, followers of Christ or not. There are millions of people who claim to be Christians, and you ask them, why are you a Christian? What is Christianity all about? Who is Jesus? What happens when you become a Christian? And the only thing they can say, I don't know about all that stuff. I know that I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. The belt of truth is needed to oppose the devil. Truth. Only God's word is the truth. The belt was used to keep the flowing robes from tangling, actually, in the past, or in the older days, or prevent our clothes, pants, from falling off. You know, one of my nightmares is when I dream sometimes is that I've come to church to preach, and either I've forgotten my belt, or I have the wrong shirt, or I have, and you know, I mean, to you that's crazy, but to me it's real. So the belt is, and a lot of people don't wear belts, and I wonder why they don't. You know what? Let me share this with you. I remember my grandfather. I don't know if the Kran knows this because he is a couple of years older than I am. But let me put it this way. My grandfather came from Turkey. He was a guerrilla fighter. He was a tall man, a good-looking man. And I saw him take a long, long piece of cloth. Dikar, is that true? Did they do that? And he would go in the morning and go around and around and like a girdle, like heavy-duty girdle. And I would say, Grandma, why are you doing that for? Ah, he says, you don't understand. One day you'll understand. I said, why? He would say, it keeps you straight and protects your guts and it's good for you. And okay, I never did it. But I remember my grandpa. And you know what? Maybe he had something that we don't. Protect your guts, your everything. So the Word of God is like that belt, strong, to protect you. A soldier without a belt to hang his gun on or whatever and to protect him maybe feel very more vulnerable than someone else who has it. God spoke to Israel on the first Passover night and gave them instructions. By the way, we're talking about Passover, and so I don't know whether there's a Greek Orthodox here, but the Greek Orthodox Church is celebrating Easter, and that could be the Russian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, some are Armenian Orthodox, not all, and the Greeks celebrating Easter. So if you have a Greek neighbor, just tell them, Happy Easter. Christos Anesti will do. God spoke to Israel on the first Passover night and gave them instructions. He said, this is how you are to eat, with your cloak, that is robe, tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and staff in your hands. Readiness is the key here. Words that flow without the control of the belt of truth will bring defeat and trouble. And you know what? I've experienced that as a young person who was, I was very, very eager to defend Christianity, defend my doctrine. I would say a lot of stuff that I wasn't sure about, but it sounded okay. And people accepted it. And people thought I was very intelligent, very smart, but they didn't realize I was just making it up to protect my doctrine. Well, you know, those will not find the right response. Because you may fool someone with your empty words, but when he or she reads the Bible or hears someone else, and it's not the truth, then you've lost your credibility. So when we talk to someone else, when we preach, when we lead someone to the Lord, let's stick to the truth. Let's only refer to the Bible and not to Dr. So-and-so and Reverend so-and-so and the most Reverend so-and-so. And you know, what they say may be the truth or maybe not. Dishonesty trips us up and makes us fall. No one has good enough memory to be a successful liar. And I don't know if anyone here has ever lied, but I have. And I remember as a young teenager, I came to my mom, and one day she said, "Where did you find that little thing?" Oh, I said, "I found it in the street." And then she said, "What street?" And I said, "That street." And then she said, "How is that thing?" And she asked me hundreds of questions, interrogating me. And then eventually I had to tell her 200 lies to cover one mistake I made in my life. And that has stuck in my mind because you know what my mother did? She said, "Okay, that was 3 drachmas, right?" I said, "Yes." "You take it from your friend, right?" "Yes." "Would you take these 3 drachmas now, go to his home, and in front of his parents, apologize and give him back the money and ask for forgiveness?" I said, "I can't do it." She said, "You have to do it or else God is going to deal with you." I mean, she wasn't the most... Anyway, she made me do it. I went there and you know what? It was so difficult. It was so humiliating that I've never forgotten it. And after, I don't know, 60 years, I'm sharing it with you, or maybe 58 years. You know what? The truth you can always remember. A lie you may forget. We must be truthful about ourselves in dealing with sin. And in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, we read, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you've sinned in the past, if you lied, and if you know it, and if you have not asked for forgiveness, it's not too late. Please do it right now." We read in John 8:32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What a beautiful promise. The truth will set you free. I mean, you tell the truth to your mom, to your dad. You tell the truth to your wife. You tell the truth to your husband. It will set you free. But sometimes you may be thrown out of the house. You may be signing papers. But the truth will set you free, at least, before God. And you'll make peace with God. There's always a price we pay. But the truth will set us free. We must be truthful with God. God knows us inside out. In Job 31, verses 4 and 6, we read, "Does he, God, not see my ways and count my every step? If I have walked in falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scale." Also, we read in John 4, verse 23 and 24. Let me just read that to you. That's John 4, 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. There is no such a thing as dishonesty in our worship. Only the truth will set us free. Only the truth about who we are and what we've done and where are we going, what our thoughts are, will set us free as far as God and our relationship with him is concerned. We must be truthful with others. The Bible says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Colossians 3:9. We must always wear the belt of truth to have victory over Satan. The belt of truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. The truth, the belt, is Jesus. And if you have the belt, Jesus, protecting your guts, if you wish, your body, then you cannot be defeated, because the truth cannot be defeated. Number two item in our armor or panoply is the breastplate of righteousness. The word breastplate in Greek is thorax. Now, Dr. Noir here knows exactly what a thorax is, and the nurses know what a thorax is. In Greek, thorax is something that is used daily. Righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness here means the consistent daily walk of the Christian, Also, the dikaiosyne, which is righteousness in Greek, is the dikaiosyne, thorax, and the word the dikaiosyne comes in, which is justice. Satan is the accuser of the believer. In Revelation 12:10, it says, but the believer who walks in the light will give Satan no opportunity to attack him or her. We need a bulletproof vest, an armored car. Now, are we scared? Are we so weak? Are we wimps that we are so afraid that we will lock ourselves into an armored car or a bulletproof vest? Well, you know what? The soldiers and the army and the police and the RCMP who wear the vests are not necessarily wimps. They may be some, or are scared, or afraid. They are there to do a job, and they are strong men with a strong will that want to go and finish that job and not get killed before they do the job. And that vest, that bulletproof vest, if you wish, protects your heart, and without it, very quickly you'll be defeated. Righteousness is our protection. The righteousness of Christ can be ours through faith. His righteousness must show through us. Both these are needed. I need to have Christ's righteousness just as I need holiness and upright living. So, I need to have Christ's righteousness. Others need to see Christ's righteousness in me. I must reflect Christ in me. It's not enough only to say that I'm a Christian and I'm a righteous person and I am a believer, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't have to proclaim it. No one should have to know who I am, and I don't have to go sort of shouting it out that I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer. And you know what? That is absolutely good idea not to proclaim you are a Christian and make messages and preach messages and write little things and stick stickers on your card unless you are living that Christian life. And that Christian life, that righteousness is reflected through your daily life and not your words and your stickers and your proclamations. This is both positional and practical Christianity. Do the right thing and the right thing will follow you. We cannot do wrong and expect victory. We cannot do wrong and expect victory. We cannot throw away our breastplate and our belt and expect victory. We will be defeated very quickly. The devil is always ready to attack. We must always wear the breastplate of righteousness for protection. The breastplate defends the heart and the lungs and all the vital organs in the region of the thorax. So if you want to protect your lungs and if you want to protect your spiritual heart and everything in this area of your body, you better put the shield or the thorax, if you wish, of righteousness. Number three this morning is, or for this morning, will be feet ready to bring the gospel of peace. Satan is a divider and destroyer. When the believer walks in the way of peace, that is the way of the gospel, then Satan cannot reach him or her. The Christian's feet should be clean, John 13 says, beautiful, Romans 10:15, and fitted with the gospel. We cannot fight a battle barefoot. Can you imagine a soldier going barefoot to war? Can you imagine the police that were trying to protect, or at least they were there to protect people, were barefoot? Well, it makes no sense. Well, that's how it is with Christians. Christians who claim to be believers and followers of Christ and be righteous and have the belt but have no shoes. That means not ready. I was in the Air Force, and at night you would have to go there and be a guard. A watchman, if you wish. And the first thing you did is to make sure that you are dressed for it. And our boots were very important. Because you don't know when the enemy will attack. And you don't know where you would be going. And you don't know how far you would be running or climbing or jumping or whatever it is. You do need to be ready and prepared. And I believe a Christian should be ready. And the shoes also are to run a distance, if you wish, or walk through difficult areas. And the Bible says we must be ready to do it. What is the gospel? Verse 15 says we must be ready and prepared to bring the gospel of peace to others. Gospel, evangelio in Greek, is the good news of peace and salvation. Verse 15 says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Means feet that are ready to move out of their comfort zone to bring the gospel, the good news, to others. I tell you, I don't think it's very comfortable. Pierre yesterday was sharing in his testimony that when for the first time went to give out tracts, he was very nervous. He almost was shaking, but eventually he got used to the idea. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable for a young lady or an elderly woman or a young man or a child to go in a metro station where everyone looks at you funny and to give out tracts, and they say, what is this garbage? And you say, no, it's not garbage. This is the Word of God. What Word of... It does take some kind of strength and readiness to face the attacks. So we have to move out of our comfort zone because we are Christians, followers of Christ, and we have the shoes of the gospel. The best defense is good offense. As long as we are standing still and not doing much to bring the gospel to others, we become easy targets. I mean, watching wrestlers or boxers or hockey, they always move, so they don't want to become the target of the attacker. They want to fool the attacker. Well, the Christian is always on the move, so we must be dressed for a fight, if you wish. Take the good news to others and experience victory. Truth, righteousness, soul winning are the three things we looked at this morning. The truth is Jesus. He said, I am the truth. The truth is what we believe in. Is that the truth from the Bible or the truth that came from some kind of a preacher or some kind of a writer a philosopher? Or is it the truth in the Bible? And if we want to reach out and bring the gospel to others, we must also we must be ready to do it. So the truth and the righteousness and well-dressed or have the shoes of the gospel. What part do these play in your daily walk and battle this morning? And you only can answer this question. What part do these three things, truth, righteousness, and soul winning, are part or play a part in your daily life? Use them and begin to win. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for equipping us, for giving us the equipment, but also we need to learn how to use them and how important they are in our lives. And so we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help each one of us. May the Holy Spirit help each one of us and convict us of our failures and strengthen us to have victory in our daily life. Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with difficult situations in their lives. May they receive the courage and the strength that comes only in knowing you and through you. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.